Ash from South Street Baptist Church. It is a great privilege for me to be here and to be sharing the Word of God with you. Today, I believe there's fresh revelation that I'm receiving. And the topic today is about the Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. So the song that we sang is actually leading us to that. The Lord bless you. And I must admit, it's the first time that I've actually paid particular attention to the words of these songs. And I'm thinking, wow, it is so, so powerful. It is so, so relevant. And it is so much towards you, towards me, and towards anyone who really, 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 really want God to bless him or her. So today I say thank you for tuning in. Today is your day of blessing, and be ready to receive it in Jesus' name. I'll be bringing a lot of Bible verses because I believe in the Word of God as scripture, and it is given by God, to us by inspiration, and it's profitable for doctrine, it is profitable for reproof, it's profitable for correction, it is profitable for direction, instruction in righteousness, that every man and every woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work, so that we can order our lives by it. So if you see me quoting scripture, that is what my life is ordered by, and that is what your life ought to be ordered by. Without that, we have no standards, and therefore we do what is right in our own eyes. So today I'm going to preach on the topic, the Lord bless you, the Lord bless you. And if you've got your Bible, turn with me to Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. I'll be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. So follow me. And otherwise, I will tell you if I'm using a different version. But any version you have is good. But I prefer the New King James Version. It says, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hands. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and of all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for the sake of Joseph. And the blessings of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Thus he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he even had, except for the bread which he ate. Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Because of Joseph in the house of Potiphar, Potiphar was blessed to the extent that he didn't even know what he had out there as an investment. Neither did he know what he had in the house, as it were, for cash reserves. He was blessed when he went out. He was blessed when he came in because of Joseph. And why? Because the Lord was with Joseph. But it wasn't all that smooth. Joseph had been sold into Egypt as a slave and happened to be in this man's house. So I want us to learn right now is what it means for the Lord to bless you. What does it mean for the Lord to bless you? We need to know. If we say the Lord bless you, like we've been singing, what does it mean? You see, Joseph walked before the Lord in integrity and obedience to the law of his God. So he reaped the benefit of being blessed by the Almighty God, even when he was in Egypt. Remember, he was a slave child, 17-year-old guy. And I believe by the time that they were making this story, he was just about 21 years old. So think about it. He lived in integrity and obedience to the word of God, and the benefit of a blessing came upon him. What does it mean to be blessed by the Lord? God will supernaturally empower you to prosper against every
impossibility and against all odds. It means receiving authorization to prosper in any situation with the purpose of making sure all you do will become fruitful. So when you are blessed, it means God is supernaturally empowering you to prosper in every possibility, whether you are slave or freed, whether you are the master who owned the business or you are the one, the servant who worked for the businessman or who worked in your place, in your workplace. God is going to prosper you. If it's not happening, there's something wrong there. Have you walked in integrity? Have you walked in obedience? If you do, you will see the hand of God upon you. The blessing of the Lord activates divine protection. When God blesses you, it activates divine protection. That means it kickstarts, it kicks into motion. The blessing of the Lord bless you, it something kicks into motion, protection, preservation, provision, promotion, well-being, health, and etc. And this will usually spill over to your generations. You see, that is what we read in Genesis chapter 39, verse 1 to 6. We heard that Joseph was handsome in form and appearance. He was well-being. His health was good. I didn't know whether he was going to the gym or not, but he was good because of the integrity, because he had been supernaturalized, supernatural provision and empowerment. The blessing had been activated. What does it mean to be blessed by the Lord? This will bring you into a position of favor. When you are blessed of the Lord, this will bring you into a position of favor in the sight of those in authority. We saw and we see here that because Joseph was blessed, it brought him in the position of favor in front of Pharaoh, in front of Potiphar, and in the sight of that man who has the authority, who was literally, who was one of the in men to Pharaoh. Probably in today's generation, we'll call him the Lord of something, the Lord of some manner or something. It brought him in favor. And the blessing of God should be able to bring you in favor of your employers, to bring you in favor of your business people, to bring you in favor of anyone in authority that is able to bless you. It's going to be there. Protection, preservation, and promotion, provision and everything. So, here, what it does is that when it brings you in favor in the sight of those in authority, it will bring you also in favor of those who have the ability and the means to increase you. So somebody has the ability and the means to increase you, right? To expand your capacity, God will bring you in favor of such people. For example, promotion and greater responsibilities, and others will look up to you and honor you. Because when you are promoted and you are given greater responsibilities, God will do that. Some of you have been praying for promotion. Pray for it. It is a good thing. Ask God to bless you for promotion. Ask God to bless you for promotion because it's greater responsibility, it's greater authority, it's greater power, it's greater money in most cases. And also it gives you influence to be able to shape and direct affairs with your giftedness. There's so much in you that you need the blessings of God to divinely activate you for that to happen. And when that happens, it will spill over into your generations. You look around and you see men and women who are literally wealthy and their descendants are wealthy. You see, people who own the grocery shops and all the other places that you go to somehow know that their descendants have done something. And those who probably have just started, say Facebook and other things, you think their children are ever going to be poor? Unless there's something totally wrong, they will never be poor. So the blessings that they've got will spill over to their generations. So why not you? Why not you who knows our God? Is it only the unbelievers who need to prosper? You see, When we don't know what God has made us to be, we live in poverty and we live in mediocrity and we allow the world to laugh. But we have better things. I ain't going to allow nobody to laugh at me. There's nothing to laugh at me about because I'm amply supplied. God has blessed me. God has protected me. God has helped me all these years to bring me this far. God will give you influence. Now, let's read Genesis chapter 39, verse 2 to 4. What we read earlier, it said the Lord was with Joseph. Underline that under in your Bible or whatever you write, whatever you are writing in, write it down in bold. The Lord was with Joseph and he was successful. When you are blessed, the Lord will be with you and you will be successful. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. So I repeat it again. When you are an employee, whether you are working for somebody or self-employed, God is going to make sure that you'll be successful. And his master saw that the Lord was with him. You see, in a short space of time, in two verses, they've repeated the Lord was with him. And that the Lord made all the things that he did to prosper in his hands. So whatever our hands find to do, there's got to be an increase. There's got to be an expansion. There's got to be a prosperity. We should stop living in mediocrity. We should stop living in defeat. We should stop living in poverty. We should stop anyone who wants us not to succeed. Because the Lord is with us. And Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house. And all that he had, he put under his authority. So if you are praying for promotion, it is your right as a child of God. If you are looking for your business to prosper and to be successful, it is your right as a child of God. When we sought the face of God and we want God to release his supernatural power in our church to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to bring people to faith in Christ, and to be able to have authority to walk with our heads high and not bow down in shame, God honored us with that. It is our right. Because the blessing of the Lord is supernatural, it's a supernatural pronouncement and provision, it will always produce supernatural successes and prosperity where you find yourself, wherever you find yourself. Because the Lord was with Joseph and because the blessings of God which is upon him was a supernatural pronouncement and a provision, it produced supernatural results and successes. I mean, look at him, a slave in a home. There were many Egyptians and they brought this man home. And then suddenly, this man prospered so much they didn't even know what he was. He didn't even know how much he was worth. That is exactly what he's saying. And there's got to be a time that you should be blessed. Because God wants to bless us to have enough to live on. God wants to bless us to have abundance. God wants us to bless us extravagantly. Hear that? Christians who preach that you got to, be poor, they lack understanding of scripture. Hallelujah. Because if you are poor, you can't do anything for yourself. How can you have a God that you say is a mighty God and worshiping him and straighten yourself up and then yet you are living like a pauper? You are living in sickness. You are living in defeat. You are living in oppression. That is not the nature of our God, because that is why he healed the sick. That's why he wants us to be victorious. That's why he wants us to walk in peace. And not have turbulence around us and not have any things that is bothering us. That is why he doesn't want us to walk depression and things like that. He doesn't want us to. And to walk in mental illness. That is not God's provision. Anybody who tells that these things are from God, the person is a lie. It comes from the enemy. Reject it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Joseph was a slave, and yet wherever he found himself, he was prospering. See, a blessing is supernaturally charged. Hear it again. A blessing is supernaturally charged. That means supernatural is full of supernatural power. See, Joseph walked in the blessings of God during his sojourn in Egypt. And the supernatural blessing that came from the Lord established his authority and defined his destiny. You see, the authority that Potiphar gave him came from the Lord. Because Potiphar would have had other servants in the house. He bought a 17-year-old guy. How would you put something in the hands of a 17-year-old boy to manage your whole affairs? Because the blessing that was upon him was supernaturally charged. And that defined his destiny. From there on, you see that Joseph, anywhere, in every position you put him, he was successful, he was prospering. So when God blesses you, he releases a supernatural charge upon you, and it defines your destiny and releases authority over you. You open doors that cannot be opened. Every blessing puts the hand of God. Every blessing puts God's hand on you. So when they said the Lord was with you, or the Lord bless you, that means the hand of God is upon you. When they said the Lord was with him, it means the hand of God was with him, was upon him. When the Lord blesses you, God will show his face towards you and be gracious towards you wherever you are, even in times of difficulty. Sometimes when you are going through very difficult times, meet me so hard, you think God is not with you. He says, I am with you till the close of the ages. So in difficult times, imagine that Joseph, he was in his home with his brothers, 11 brothers, then he was sold. And suddenly he was in a strange land. He didn't understand the language. He didn't know the culture. He didn't know the people. He was a foreigner in Egypt. Think about the pain that actually touched him. And it took 22 years before he ever saw his brothers. 22 years he was walking in pain. And when you read the scriptures, you see that he was in pain when he met his brothers. He was in pain, so he cried. You will see that he was in difficulty. He was in pain, emotional distress for all those years. He even said it in many ways when his father was dying. So I can assure you that this man was in great difficulties. But God's face will be upon you, because the manifest presence of the Lord will go before you and will go behind you, will go beside you, and will go ahead of you, and will be within you, and will be over you, and will be with you. That is what blessings produces. Hallelujah. Thank you, my sister. Now in Genesis chapter 39 verse 1, we read, now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelite, know the word, Ishmaelite, who had taken him down there. Now, the Ishmaelites were Joseph's second cousins. The Ishmaelites were his kinsmen. Because remember, Joseph's father was Jacob. And Jacob's father was Isaac. And Isaac was a half-brother to Ishmael. Their grandfather, great-grandfather was Abraham. So they were close relatives. And how many times that sometimes your own family will make life so difficult for you? How many times that your own family will sometimes reject you? How many times will you have your own family, diss you and, stab you on the back and attack you and make life difficult for you? How many times haven't you seen that in your life? But the blessings of God means that God will be with you. And I can imagine Joseph, 17-year-old man, being taken by the Ishmaelite and saying, you know what? We are family. We are speaking the same language. Look, don't you see me? I'm Joseph. My father is Jacob. My grandfather is Isaac. My great-grandfather is Abraham. We are family. And yet they did not pay any attention. They just sold him. So sometimes you think you've made it hard because somebody is discriminating against you or looking down on you. I don't bother if people are looking down on me because I know they are ignorant or they are evil. That's all. You see, so you don't have to worry too much. As Pastor Ben was preaching last week, this is a distraction. It distracts you from focusing upon God. And you'll be saying, come on, brothers. We are brothers. Save my life. Save my life. Probably when he saw the Ishmaelite, he lived in so much hope that they would save him. No, they didn't. They rescued him. They sold him. So sometimes, even the people that you expect to come and rescue or come to your rescue, they would let you down. They will hurt you. The people that you invest so much in them, they will turn around and hit you with a knife. The people that you love so much, they will walk away out of your life and mess you up. And the years that you have spent with them, they just take it away like that. And you have nothing in hand, like Joseph. But then God was with him. The Lord was in him. That is what blessings bring. In the midst of your emotional meltdown and brokenness, the Lord is with you. So if you are going through hard time in your home, if you are going through hard time with your children, your wife, your husband, if you are going through hard time at the workplace, I just want you to know that the Lord is with you. In the midst of that, let the Ishmaelite neglect you, but the Lord will be with you. He's preparing. He's going before you and prepare something for you. Let's look at Genesis chapter 39, verse 20 to 23. It says, Joseph's master took him and put him in prison, the place where the king's prisoners were confined. But while Joseph was there in the prison, the Lord was with him. He showed him kindness and granted him favor in the eyes of the prison warden. So the warder put Joseph in charge of all those held in the prison. And he was made responsible for all that was done in there. The warder paid no attention to anything under Joseph's care because the Lord was with Joseph and gave him success in whatever he did. So the things that we are saying is just coming through. The blessing, bring the Lord to be with you. God will grant you favor. God will promote you and give you responsibilities in spite of the lies that people are telling about you. For several years, I was the only black man in the midst of white middle-class aristocrats working. Because black man is regarded as someone who is dumb, and yet I know I'm not dumb. What is the difference? God is with me. So I just want you to know that the Lord will be with you, whether your skin color, whether your qualification, whether your background, whether your status, whatever it is, or where the country you come from, the language you speak, the accent with which you speak, the color of your skin, it doesn't matter. When God blesses you, these things does not matter. So don't focus on them. And play those, the word I want to use is that, a victim game. Always see yourself as a victim. If somebody sees you differently, that is their problem. They are evil. That's why they see you that way. Otherwise, they will see you as human beings. Don't worry about them. Let God's blessing rest upon you. If somebody is holding you back and does not want to promote you, that's the time for you to say, hang on a minute, I serve a living God. It's my time to break through and have that promotion. It is my right, it's my portion. If you are qualified for it, if you are experienced for it, if you have worked for it, you got to have that so that you also have that money. Never again should you allow somebody who's uneducated, not qualified, doesn't know anything with no experience, come and overtake you and get a big job and you are sitting there working all your life in that situation. Don't be dumb. God is with you. Hallelujah. It's your right. You got to claim it in Jesus' name. You see, sometimes when you speak the truth, some people feel uncomfortable, but that is all right because they know you are speaking the truth. So, let's move on. The blessing, which is a divine pronouncement, makes the Holy Spirit the divine carrier of such supernatural ability to prosper. You see, the blessing should always come as a divine pronouncement. Because of that, God will release something powerful that will overshadow you so that you will always be a blessing to others. When we look at Luke chapter 1, verse 35, we see the Holy Spirit coming upon Mary. And she gave birth to Jesus and became a blessing to society and me and you. When we look at Genesis chapter 39, chapter 40, chapter 41, we see that a blessing that came upon Joseph gave him influence, and Joseph became a blessing. When there was famine, who was there? Who was in charge? Who did Pharaoh put in charge of the grain storage? Who did Pharaoh put in charge to be the strategic manager for all these things to happen? Who was there to store these things for his brothers to come in the second year of the famine to see him and to be provided for? Who was there? That was Joseph. He became a blessing to many, blessing to the world at the time. Blessings are received usually as a result of obedience. Write it down. Blessings are received usually as a result of obedience and righteousness. That means doing what is right before God. Because each act of obedience activates a cycle of blessing. Each time you obey God, it activates a cycle of blessing. It may be that somebody has blessed you for a long time, you haven't seen the result, but as you obey God, as you do what is right, then the blessing is kicked in motion. And then they start working. Right? It activates. Now, it's just like an aeroplane on a tarmac. You want to travel. If it hasn't moved, it is there. You're in the same aeroplane. Nothing different. But the moment they start the engine and they start speeding up and they fly, they start kicking up to the sky, then something has been activated. So, don't just sit there. Do what is right. Obey God. And a cycle. When we say a cycle, that means it goes round and run and come back again, right? So it's not just it happens and it stops. You see yourself in a blessing upon blessing upon blessing. And in this church, I've seen people, I'm thinking, God, how come you only blessing Declan all the time? What about Musu? What about this? Declan probably has known how to do what is right and obey God and activate his blessing, and he's walking in it. So why don't you do the same? Instead of coming to be prayed for all the time, why don't you say, God, I want to do what is right. I want to obey you. Let's look at Psalm 1, verse 1 and 2. I'm reading from a New International Version, UK, Anglicized Version. It says this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers, but whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and who meditates on his law day and night. You see, he said, you are blessed when you don't walk in step with wicked people, when you don't stand with sinners, when you don't sit down in the company and then poo-poo God, poo-poo religion, poo-poo people who are worshiping God. When you don't stand with them, then you are blessed. But your delight, because that's the other part of it, your delight is in the law of the Lord. And you meditate on his law day and night. So part of the activation of your blessings is shun these things that we are talking about, but do the bit that God is saying that we should do. Delight in the law of the Lord and meditate on his law day and night. Of course, we know even in, I believe it is in Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. Check it for me. It said this law of the Lord should be in your mouth. Read the Bible every day and meditate upon it and apply it to your life. Then you have good success and you will prosper. Right, please check the verse for me. Joshua chapter 1, verse 12. If it is not, if not, it's just in the same area. So we see this also in the case of Solomon. When in his obedience to do precisely according to the plan, is that right? Yeah. Try 8 and 9. Joshua 1, 8 and 9. Try them for me.
Yes.
Which one
eight,
is that?
Eight.
Joshua 1, 8. Because it was at the back of my mind, I hadn't said it. Joshua 1, 8 is the verse. So, we also see this in the case of Solomon. His obedience to do precisely according to the plan his father David gave him to build a temple for the Lord releases so much blessing, because David gave him a plan. David said, you know what? The Lord revealed this to me by his spirit. He gave me the details of the temple. God gave Moses the details of the tabernacle, but not the temple. But the temple, if you read 1 Chronicles chapter 28, I'll refer to later on. So you see that David was saying, God gave me the plan by inspiration, by the Spirit to build this. But because my hand was the hand of war and I've shed so much blood, he said, my son will build it. But I want you to do it exactly as God has told me to do it. And when you do it precisely, God is going to bless you. And guess what? He was blessed with wisdom, and his time he was the wealthiest person. Wealthiest, physical wealth, gold, silver, all those things that people today, I mean, stumble upon and they have very little and they boast about. He had so much, the most wealthiest person in the world. Not even the Bill Gates and, I mean, Mark Zuckerberg and other things, they have enough wealth to compare with, I mean, this guy. He had so much wealth. And as he had wealth, Queen of Sheba, who also came and even added to it, he came to add even more gold to it. Imagine that. And he lived in peace during the 40 years of his reign in Israel as king. Look for that in 1 Chronicles chapter 28 verse 20 and 2 Chronicles chapter 1 verse 11 and 12. These things will come on the chat box, so in case you miss it, you can check it out there. So, Jesus was no exception in walking in obedience while here on this earth. He therefore walked in God's blessings during his time of ministry. So we will hear him. Let's read Matthew chapter 3, verse 13 to 17. It says that, then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. And John tried to prevent him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and you will come into me. But Jesus answered and said to him, permit it to be done so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he allowed him. When he had been baptized, Jesus came up immediately from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him. And suddenly a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. So we can see that in Jesus' obedience and doing what is right, he received supernatural and divine pronouncement. Blessings came upon him that he is the beloved Son. And today, as you are listening to me, wherever you are, open your heart and say, I am ready to do what is right. I want to be called a beloved son. I want to be a son or a daughter of God. That as I hear this word, I want to walk in the same blessing like Joseph walked, like Solomon walked, like David walked, like Jesus walked. And therefore, I will open my heart and give my life to Jesus Christ. No argument. If you want to walk in his blessings. And this is what was alluded to in Matthew 17 verse 5. While he was still speaking, that was Peter here this time, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. So here, there's an affirmation that God will affirm you as his son, his daughter, because every blessing from the Lord puts you in a position to receive honor and to receive glory from God. The pronouncement are the voice of God over your life. So when somebody blesses you, the person is speaking as God wants him or her to speak over your life. Let's take a reading from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. Still reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 16 to 18 said, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellency glory. This is my beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. And we heard this voice which came from heaven when we were with him here on this earth. So what Apostle Peter was saying is that he was eyewitnesses to the blessings that came upon Jesus Christ because they heard it with their own ears and they were eyewitnesses. For that reason, let us not be deceived by anybody. Let us not be deceived by anybody that Jesus is not good, Christians are crazy, Christians are not right, religion is not right thing. Look, those people who say this, as Pastor Ben was saying, which I have said it to you many, many times, it is in the Bible. The Bible says the fool says that there is no God. That means, I don't even know how to explain it in the English language. But I don't want you to hide. I want to see your face so that you know that I'm talking to you. You see? And that is what Scripture tells us. Scripture tells us in the Psalm. And I've heard Pastor Ben saying that. I've listened to his message about a dozen times. His power was powerful. He was preaching to you powerfully. And this is the power that God has released into our church from the Holy Spirit. So who can give a blessing? Who can give a blessing? This is something that you need to know. Who can give a blessing? In other words, who is qualified to bless you? Who is qualified to bless you? Anyone, hear it. Anyone can give a blessing, but it is only effective, underline the word, only effective when it comes from someone in authority or someone who is authorized. It will be your parents, it will be an older person, to be your teacher, to be your ruler, manager, your boss, it will be your leader, etc. Even political leaders. Because of their role, they can bless you. It will only be effective when it comes from this group of people. Anyone can give a blessing. Number two, society in general and in many cultures use the expression, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. But note that it is used as a way of appreciation or a sense of approval of some act done. It becomes meaningless if it is not accompanied by specific and directed pronouncement to bring effect. If somebody says, God bless you, even if the person is the one in authority or authorized, they say, God bless you, it is meaningless unless the person directs the prayer. That let his face shine upon you, let him his favor be upon you as you go out, as you come in. I've spent some time this weekend looking at so many blessings in the Bible, and each time they specify what the blessing is for. So if you believe that you have the authority to bless somebody, specify it. I'm blessing you to pass your exams. I'm blessing you to have a successful marriage. I'm blessing you for you to graduate and have a good job. I'm blessing you for promotion. I'm blessed. So direct your blessings. Otherwise, it is meaningless. Number three, blessings are more effective. Underline the word more effective. Are more effective when the person who gives it is spiritually connected with the Almighty and supernatural God. It is more effective if the person is spiritually, the person who gives the blessing is spiritually connected with the Almighty and supernatural God. Example, your spiritual leader, example, your mentor, your pastor, your bishop, your apostle. If these people are spiritually connected to the supernatural God, the Almighty God, Jehovah, then that blessing becomes even more effective. You see, now, is it four now? The blessing is even more, and in other words, even more effective when the person giving it is authorized by God as his spokesperson. In this way, the blessings become prophetic pronouncement and is sealed by the Holy Spirit, which will come to pass, no doubt. So if the person is authorized as God's spokesperson, it comes as a prophetic thing. I saw David prophesying. That's why he's called a prophet. Abraham prophesying. That's why he's also called a prophet. And many men of God, we see Peter, we see Paul, the things that they say, we see Jesus Christ, the things that they say are words of prophecy, blessings upon us. It will come to pass, no doubt. The one who is greater has the right to bless the lesser. And these blessings usually follow you over many generations. If you're not greater than me, you can't bless me. If you're not authorized, you can't bless me. If you're not spiritually connected with God, you can't bless me. If the blessing that you are putting on me, you don't direct it with specific pronouncement, you can't bless me. If the Spirit of God is not in it by prophetic, means, you can't bless me. That is the spiritual argument here, and that is the truth. So the greater is always blessed by, the greater always has the right to bless the lesser. Let's take a reading from Genesis chapter 14, verse 18 to 20. I'm reading from the New International Version, UK version. It said, then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. That's after Abraham had defeated four powerful kings with only ragamuffin or ragtag army, who only had sticks. Then Melchizedek, the king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of the Most High God. Hear it. And he blessed Abram, saying, blessed be Abram by God Most High, creator and possessor of heaven and earth. And praise be to God Most High. Twice it's been repeated. Who delivered your enemies into your hands. Then Abram gave him a tenth of everything. And in the King James Version, he says that, and he gave him a tithe of all. Note this. And note here that Melchizedek used the blessing to connect Abram to the Most High God as the source of every good thing. And what he, Melchizedek, was imparting to him. So when you have the ability and you have the chance to bless somebody, make sure that you connect the person to the Most High God, and that the person will come to know that God is the source of the blessing that you are bringing. Each time I see people bring blessing their people, especially Abraham and the rest, our patriarchs and our fathers, they said, the God of my father, the God of the father of this, the God who this, he, in his name, I'm blessing you. Connect them to God. Because there's no power in you to bless anybody except that which comes from God. Otherwise, it's meaningless. It is also worth noting that the blessing came, in this case, before Abraham gave a tithe. Abraham was blessed before he gave a tenth of all, indicating that the moment you make up your mind to, the moment you have it in your heart to, the moment you make a vow or decide to give, you, the lesser, is blessed by the greater, the God Most High. He received the blessing before he even gave. Because it was in the heart of Abraham that whatever I have acquired from the battle, I am going to give a tenth to God. Whatever I have acquired from my hard work, that's what it is. So the blessing came before he gave. The writer of the book of Hebrews compares the blessings of the high priest and Levites with the Messiah, who is the Christ. Let's read Hebrews 7:7. It's something that I've probably alluded to earlier. He said, I'm reading from the New International Version, UK. He said, and without doubt, meaning no doubt. My brother James liked the word, no doubt. No doubt, without controversy or without contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the greater. No doubt. The lesser is blessed by the greater. So we thus see Abraham and Boaz, for example, two godly men who were also very wealthy individuals, bless their staff and their descendants. Boaz goes to the farm, and the first thing that he says is that the Lord bless you. This is incredible. And Abraham blesses his staff time and time again. And they bless their descendants time and time again. So through Abraham, we get Isaac, we get Jacob. And through Boaz, we get Obed, Jesse, David, Jesus Christ. 28 generations on, we have Jesus Christ. Let's read something from Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. I'm missing a few verses, but that's okay. Matthew chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. And Mary was the mother of Jesus, who is called the Messiah. Thus there were 14 generations in all from Abraham to David. and 14 generations from David to the exile period, and 14 from the exile to the Messiah. So from David, 28 generations on, Christ was born, all because somebody stood who was greater and blessed the lesser and released and unleashed a blessing. So the blessing that comes from the Lord is as a result of obeying the word of God and doing what he says. That will prosper you in many areas of your life, including financial matters. You can look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 6 to 11. You can also look at Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 to 10. If you miss the Bible verses on the chat box. And you can also look at Malachi 3, 10 to 12. You can see that God prospered people. God protected people. God expanded people. God consolidated people in many ways. If you want a job, God will consolidate you to have it. If you want your business to prosper, God will consolidate you to have it. Those who serve God receive a special blessing of God's provision. This is very important. I love God. And I sit here. And I remember when I said I was coming home, my executive director said, Gideon, you are that stupid. She didn't use that word, but he said, I don't understand you. You mean you leave this august job and go where? Church. She laughed. And said, I give you 6 months. You come and beg me for the job and you won't have it because it's a sought after role. And you know that. And that is true. But I said, I will never come and beg you. Within 6 months, who was begging who? They were asking me to come and do consultancy for them. Because the Lord has blessed me. And God is going to do it for you today. Those who serve God receive a special blessing of God's provision. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 13 to 14, you will receive. It said those who actually preach the gospel, those who serve the temple, those who serve in the house of God, God will provide for them. When you look at Numbers chapter 18, verse 20 to 21, the Bible, God himself opened his mouth and said to Aaron, he says, you will not have physical inheritance, but then I will be your inheritance. I will be your provision. You'll never go hungry. You'll never be in a position that you never have anything upon your head. That you always have somewhere to live. Because I will make sure that whatever the people give, I'll have some reserve for you so that you can have it as well. So, let me finish with this last bit, which shouldn't take too long. We want to look at the power of a blessing versus a curse. The power of a blessing versus a curse. Hear this and hear it again. A blessing cannot be revoked or taken back. A blessing, once released upon you, it cannot be revoked or taken back. If somebody blesses you and pronounce something supernatural powerful over your life, and if you upset them, they cannot come back and say, look, I've taken back all my blessings. It will not work. Because the blessing has gone out. The word of God has gone out. It will never come back. It will go and accomplish the purpose for which it's been sent. That is what it does. Neither can it be intercepted in transit. So the devil cannot stop your blessings. So if you are sitting here and the devil, you feel like, oh gosh, my blessings are being stopped by the devil. Tell the devil that I want it back. Be spiritually aggressive and take it. In this church, we are training you not only to know the word cerebrally and not to know the doctrines as a knowledge and information. We want you to put it in practice. Hey, you've got something of mine. I want it back. Some of you need to sit down and put a chair there and say, you've got something from me and I'm going to get it back. It is not yours. I want it back in Jesus' name. At the name of Jesus, that's where the power comes from. And burst into some supernatural language there. Get into the supernatural stream and take what is rightfully yours. That is how warfare are won. So he cannot be intercepted. We seal the blessings with our hands and the name of our God in the name of Jesus. In the name of the Lord God Almighty, we seal it with our hands. For instance, a father, a pastor, or someone in spiritual authority lays his or her hand on you to bless you. Whatever they have declared is sealed and cannot be undone. The cycle of blessings is activated at that point. It's activated at that point. I will skip the Bible verse. Believe me, everything that I'm saying, I have a Bible verse, but because of time, I'm skipping some of the Bible verses. You see, Isaac blessed Jacob. We know that. And Jacob blessed his grandchildren. And even his children, we know that. You can check it out. Genesis 28, 48. You can check it out. Genesis 27. Genesis 27 and Genesis 48. Chapter 27, chapter 48. These two, the blessings. You see, there are stories there which is sometimes sad, but it's so powerful. You see, a curse, on the other hand, can be prevented. Hear it again. A curse, on the other hand, can be prevented. You see, now, Balak, who was the king of Moab, when he saw the people of Israel coming, he was scared. You remember what Pastor Ben preached last week? He said that when the anointing of God is upon you, people are afraid of you. They will attack you. They will do everything. They will call you names. They will like to put you down. Sometimes the reason why somebody is really trying to put you down is because they are scared of you. The reason why somebody is discriminating against you because they are scared of you. The reason why you are not being given promotion, they are scared of you. That when you get there, you unleash some talent and ability that they will not be able to comprehend with. Balak, the king of Moab, was scared of the people of Israel. And therefore, he went to Mesopotamia, all the way to Iraq, to bring Balaam, who was people call him a prophet, but he was not a prophet of God. But God can use anybody to come and curse the Israelites. That, you can find that in Numbers chapter 22, verse 8. And Numbers 23, verse 6. When he came to curse them, each time that he cursed them, it did not work. He actually blessed the people. Balaam blessed the people of Israel. So that means a curse can be prevented. He was there to come and curse the people, build altars to curse them. But when he built altars, he was rather blessing the people because God put the words in his mouth. So a curse can be prevented. A curse can also be revoked. Revoked. You can undo the curse. You have the power to undo the curse. When you read Genesis chapter 27 verse 3, we see Rebekah telling his son Jacob that if you're afraid, just go and take the blessings. Let the curse be upon me. You see, she didn't curse herself. Let the curse be upon me. That means she is sure that she can revoke the curse. If there's any curse that comes upon her, she'll be able to revoke it. She has the power to do that because she knew God too. When you go to Galatians 3:13, Jesus Christ, the Bible said, he bore our curses. So when Jesus Christ went on the cross, he revoked every curse that is upon you. Any negative thing, any cycle of event that continue to happen in your family, this person died at the age of 60. I remember in my family many years ago that everyone, when you reach 60, you have to buy your coffin because you are going to die. And they were dying. Both my parents died. My father before he reached 60 and my mother by 63, just around that time. They don't go to 65. It's too much for them. They just die. And they are healthy, wealthy. I mean, sometimes prominent people and they just die. Of course, death doesn't know whether you are prominent, healthy or anything. You just die. And I had to revoke that. The last of my siblings who died, or the latest or whatever it is, she was 75. And I have siblings who are in their 80s and 70s and going. And they are still alive. I had to break that curse. You can break it in Jesus' name. And if there is no cause, it will not alight. If somebody is cursing you, if somebody is saying bad things, first reverse it or reject it. I don't want it. If somebody said, you are going to fail, I'm not going to have it. I remember in the university, there was this lecturer, I don't know what he saw about me, but anything that I say, when I lift up my hands, he would never call me in the class until nobody can answer the question. And then he would ask me, and if I say, I don't know, he would just say something bad to hurt me. He said, I told you, you didn't know anything. And I'm thinking, but I'm one of your best three students in this class. I would always either on top or one of the three. So why do you treat me that way? He was breaking my will. Why? I don't know. I rejected that in Jesus' name. And I believe I've achieved a lot more than he will in accountancy field. Definitely I have. Go and check your HMRC and ask them for 22 years who invented or who updated how to, do construction and industry form of accounting. And they will tell you that it's this man who is looking at you. United Kingdom, using it. If you're an engineer, you are using it. If you're a road contractor, you are using it. If you're a subcontractor, you are using it. If you're a builder, property developer, you are using it. If you're self-employed, you are using it. 22 years until they find somebody like Sister Fumi who is more brilliant, and then they will change it. Otherwise, it's still alive. Rejected. I rejected that. If I have allowed that man to, his curse to settle on me, I would have been a nobody by this time. Rejected, rejected, rejected in Jesus' name with spiritual violence. You hear they are doing? Reject any curse upon you. I don't know who are the names that I have to. I've seen some beautiful faces. If there's anything upon you like this, reject it, reject it, reject it. You don't want it. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. I got to finish this message. Nearly there. And if there's no cause, don't alight. That is, it will not work or affect you or come to effect. Let's look at Proverbs chapter 26, verse 2. Amplified version I'm reading from because I love that its interpretation. It said, like the sparrow in her wandering, like the swallow in her flying, so the curse without cause does not come and alight on the undeserving. If you do not deserve for anybody to curse you, what is a curse? Somebody says something negative about you to hurt you, negative about you to hold you back, negative about you to pull you down, negative about you to mess you about. That is a curse. And when it is released, that just like a blessing which comes with the supernatural power of God, demons take it over and they consolidate on you and make sure it crystallizes on you. And you see that it becomes a cycle over your life. Cycle over your children, cycle over your children's children, cycle in the family. And you go to a family and you see that people are messed up and you see the same pattern repeated, repeated, repeated. That is a curse. You got to reject it, my brother, my sister. If you are not deserving it, even if you have done wrong, ask God for forgiveness, because a curse can be revoked. For God to turn it around. If you've heard it, turn it around. Don't be cruel and put it back on the person. Sometimes when they hurt you so much, you want to put it on them. But if the person is a loved one, please spare him or her. Because when you put it back on them, if they don't know how to be free from it, it will affect them. So, it will not alight. So then, today I just want to say thank you so much for listening. We are going to pray right now. You can put your pen and paper down. You've heard me for about 50 minutes, I believe. Maybe less. We are going to pray. And wherever you are, I want you to set your heart, set your bloodline, look into your family, look into your home. Is there anything that is a curse? Any pattern of something that you don't like to see? Sickness, divorce, illness, depression, all sorts of things, failures, poverty. People who forever will not do any work to earn a living. Look at that. If there is anything in your family, maybe some of you in your family, there's quarrels. People are always fighting. There's no peace in your family. There's no peace in your home. Somebody along the line in the bloodline opened the door and gave a legal right to the enemy to enter. Set your heart right now. Repent before God. Say to God, I am sorry. I'm sorry that I've allowed this to happen. I want to be free from it. Maybe right now you are full of hatred because somebody hated you. Some of you are full of bitterness because somebody discriminated against you. Some of you hate people of other races because somebody taught you that way. Or maybe somebody has done that to you and therefore you see somebody and you hate that person, you don't even want to hear them. And when I talk this, I'm not only talking about white people against black people. Most of the times it's black people against white people. But these are all distractions. Hatred has no barrier, has no race. So pray and ask God to forgive you if this is in you. If you yourself have been looking down on somebody, pray to God and say, God, I'm sorry. And I'm going to pray to remove curses over your lives. If you know there's a curse over your life in your family, whatever it is, I'm going to pray for you. I want you to raise up your hand. You don't have to tell me what it is. I'm just going to pray for God. Just let your hand go up. I'm going to pray. God has anointed me to pray, to break it. Could be illness, could be anything. In the name of Jesus. Father God, I pray and I break every curse that is raised up to you. Father, I break every curse, whatever it is that has been raised up to you. Father, you see their hands. Today I pray and I remove every trace of the spirit of witchcraft, that wicked spirit that crystallizes curses in people's lives and prevent them from being free. I remove its power in Jesus' name. I break the spirit of the night raider in the name of Jesus. People who continue to have terrible dreams over and over again, I break that. I break that in Jesus' name. I sense that. I break that in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father God, I pray. And I pray, Father God, for anyone who's going through turmoil in the family, that right now they cannot get on with each other. Father God, I pray in the name of Jesus Christ. I release them. I release them in the power of God in Jesus' name. Father God, I pray if anyone here says words have been spoken over them, which is to hurt them and to destroy them, today I set them loose in Jesus' name. I set them loose in Jesus' name. I set them loose in the name of Jesus. Father God, right now I'm praying for a critical illness. Someone here that's a critical illness upon your life and is preventing you from having a breakthrough. I set you free in Jesus' name. Be healed 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 in Jesus' name. And some of you, the enemy has literally shut your womb and does not want you to have anything. I remove that curse right now today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Father God, if you have opened the womb once, open it again. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Lord. And Father God, I pray that anyone who wants to prosper, I pray your blessings upon them. I release supernatural blessings upon them. I release supernatural power upon them. Father God, for them to prosper. Father God, in financial matters. Father God, in education. Father, in promotion, in business opportunity, and in health and well-being. I release upon them right now in Jesus' name. Father, today I bring restoration, Father God, in homes. I bring, Father God, the mending of the broken walls in people's lives. In Jesus' name. Father, cement this with your power. Cement this with your spirit. Cement this with the name of Jesus Christ. And Father God, I release someone's mind. Someone's mind is caught, as it were, in a big break and stuck in gear. And it's not moving from the pain and the hurt that you have received over the years. Right now, I set you free. I set you free. And I change your language from hatred to love. I change your language from hatred to love. Right now in Jesus' name, receive the love of God. Receive the healing of God. Receive the love of God. Receive the healing of God in Jesus' name right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Right. We are upon